sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Welcome to If Nothing Changes, Nothing Changes, Life Coaching with Deidre. I'm Deidre, your host, coming to you live on Inner Light Radio, broadcasting straight out of Richmond, California. Now, I know you could have listened to any of the thousands of podcasts on the radio, internet, or even satellite, so let me start off first for thanking you for picking mine. I am an organic therapist, personal mental trainer, self-esteem booster, good-hearted devil's advocate, relationship guru, archaeologist of the soul, and a boss, all rolled up into one, here to give you my perspective on life by guiding, deepening, and challenging your thoughts while influencing you with innovative, insightful information, not forgetting to motivate, provoke, and influence your actions while empowering, educating, and entertaining you. My show will be talking about life, dreams, relationships, love, happiness, health, wealth, fitness, careers, family, and everything else that goes along with all of that. This month, I'm continuing my Women's Health and Wellness series. We've already talked about several tools you can add to your list of self-care habits throughout the year. Remember, we discussed the importance of consistent spa treatments and their importance to women's health and wellness. We were educated from experts in vagina health and cannabis healing, and we learned the history and benefits of sound therapy. And don't forget, last month we talked about how exercise and stretching can be used as a mental wellness therapy. And today I want to stay on the topic of mental and emotional wellness because countless women who navigate their mental and emotional health struggle in solitude, and we need to stop that. Now, while we sometimes use the terms mental health and emotional health interchangeably, they really are two different things. Mental health is the central term which includes our emotional, psychological, and social well-being. It affects how we think, feel, and act. Emotional health is a subset or aspect of mental health and refers to our ability to cope with both positive and negative emotions, including our awareness of them. Mental and emotional health work as a sort of tag team. Mental health helps us process information. Emotional health is our ability to manage and express feelings, which are based upon the information we processed. Sometimes conditions we might be experiencing can hinder our ability to regulate our emotions. So, you see why mental and emotional health is a crucial aspect of overall well-being. Yet many women suffer in silence, battling their own internal wars. The pressures to conform, to excel, and to nurture can create an environment where admitting vulnerability feels like an admission of failure. As a result, countless women endure their mental and emotional health struggles alone, often without the support or recognition they desperately need. In the quest to be everything for everyone, many women neglect to prioritize their own mental and emotional health. This silence can be deafening as women internalize their pain and soldier on, believing they must carry the weight of the world on their shoulders. The consequences of this silence are far-reaching. Without adequate support and coping mechanisms, mental and emotional health issues can manifest in various ways, from anxiety and depression to physical ailments and strained relationships. The toll is not only on you, but neglecting your mental and emotional health also affects your families, your workplaces, your parenting skills, your connections, your communication, and the overall happiness of the people who interact with you. Living with a mom that suffers with their emotional and mental health in silence is extremely difficult and stressful for their family, especially their children. Coping with a parent who is struggling in silence requires children and partners to manage unpredictable mood swings and navigate crisis while also dealing with their own daily life. Research indicates that a considerable percentage of children, ranging from 32% to 71%, experience poor mental health outcomes such as stress, anxiety, and depression when moms are like this. So while moms are suffering in silence, their children usually are too, experiencing guilt and helplessness about their mom's condition and struggling to balance their own needs with the needs of her. So for those moms who have fought her way through tough circumstances and survived to tell the story, and have proven time and time again that she can hold it all together without help from anyone else, this superwoman description sounds noble, but it's not healthy. Being strong actually means you know how to take care of yourself mentally, physically, and emotionally, not only for yourself, but also for your children, for your partner, and for all your other relationships. Now, you guys know I like us to get educated by the best, and my guest today is just that, the best. Tawanda Gilbert is a passionate mental health awareness advocate dedicated to breaking the stigma surrounding mental illness and promoting emotional well-being for all. With a strong commitment to equity and access, she works tirelessly to uplift underserved communities through education, outreach, and empowerment. Drawing from personal experience and professional training, Tawanda creates safe, inclusive spaces where individuals can learn, heal, and connect. Whether leading workshops, collaborating with schools and nonprofits, or speaking at community events, she centers the voices of those often overlooked in mental health conversations. Tawanda believes that healing is not one size fits all and that everyone deserves support on their journey. With a trauma-informed and culturally responsive approach, she is committed to fostering a world where mental and emotional wellness is a shared priority and no one feels alone in their struggles. Hey, Queen, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you, Queen?
I am wonderful.
Oh my God, that was such a wonderful introduction. And as you were talking, I started thinking back to myself, we've been knowing each other for about 25 years.
Tawanda, shut up. Why was I just about to say that? When I met you, you were pregnant with your youngest baby.
No, the middle one.
The middle one? Oh yes. My goodness. The middle baby who is now, as you say, 25 years old. I can't believe it. But before we even get into all of that, because Lord knows we've known each other a lot, and that kind of brings me to where I want to go, because I don't know how many times you and I and T have gone to Chevy's and girl, we was just eating and drinking and having a great time. Now, yes. During this whole, 25 years, I think I have heard you speak bilingual, like Don Julio and maybe some tequila, okay? But I'm following you on social media. I look up, and next thing you are in Puerto Rico at the Latino International Convention. Girl, yes. What in the world are you doing in Puerto Rico? And how are you able to communicate to all these people? What were you doing there?
So first of all, I am a delegate for the Latino Caucus with SEIU. And the reason why I became part of that caucus is because I have grandchildren that are biracial. And so I need to be in the know, have access to resources as they begin to become older, and to be able to have them learn about their culture. They actually came to the Latino party that we had the month before. They were able to partake into that. And so I went to Puerto Rico because first of all, I believe in showing up and the work for justice and healing for communities and transformation, just to implant hope, right? And we know what is going on in regards to ISIS. Or some of the stories that I heard when I was in Puerto Rico, because we all came together from all over the United States. Some of the stories I heard, it had me in tears. I mean, you have ICE agents that are actually swinging into people's apartments, dragging them out like Tarzan.
Oh my goodness.
You have, yes. I mean, we all were in tears. You have ICE agents that are out there, and when they do arrest our, you know, Latino community brothers and sisters, they're bringing them into the hospital, telling them, I need you to put them to the back, patch them up, because they're going to the detention center and we can't wait. So to hear those stories and how so many people on different levels are being impacted, one of the things that people never talk about is the mental health component of that.
Mm.
So the mental health, it gets me in the door and it keeps me in the door. Gotcha. And even though we're not speaking the same language, I had translators on and body language, and some of it, when it comes down to emotion, you're able to connect, right? And so I attended as a chapter officer, a mental health advocate, and someone committed to building solidarity across cultures. And so Puerto Rico reminds me that healing is global. It's not just local.
Wow. I saw you over there doing the damn thing. I saw you doing a lot of partying too, Tawanda, but I did see you.
Oh, they party. Trust me. They welcome.
I did see you in one or two meetings, it looked like, but the rest of the time your hands was in the air and I was like, is she over there doing some work? But I know you are, because I know how you are, queen, when I worked with you. So I know how passionate you are. So tell us, what is a mental health awareness advocate?
A mental health awareness advocate is someone who uses their voice, experience, and education to make mental and emotional well-being accessible, understanding, and it's okay for you to talk about. And so when someone comes to talk to you in regards to mental health, they have to feel comfortable. And the only way that people could feel comfortable about coming to talk to you about their mental health is through your lived experience. It's so many times, because, you know, myself, I've been taught that I need to have my own self-care plan, which is to have someone to speak to. And we have a family psychiatrist that we've been dealing with for the last past 9 years, that we just keep her on stack, just in case. But it took me going through 6 of them to be able to feel connected.
Hmm.
And so once, it's your right to say, this is not working for me, because when you start your mental health journey, you're going to open some portals that need to be healed. But that person that opened the portal, they're also going to have to help close it. Because if they don't, you run the risk of risky behavior, alcoholism, overeating, addictions. You can go down that rabbit hole, because a lot of our mental health, when we're struggling from it, it comes from trauma as children. It comes from trauma as children. And one of the things that I tell people is that the biggest lie that was ever told to us as children was, sticks and stones may break our bones, but words can never hurt us. That was the biggest lie, because my bone can reheal. But the words that you instill in me as a child, until that trauma is healed, it's going to carry with me until my adulthood. Mm-hmm. And what's going to end up happening is that it's going to consistently be a Band-Aid put over it, and then it's going to get a little infected, and then another Band-Aid is going to be put over it, and it's going to continue to get infected. And then next thing you know, it ooze out through addictions. And that's what it ends up breaking down to.
And, you know, we're going to get into it, because you said so much that was just so powerful. And I think the biggest thing is, you know, when we're talking about childhood traumas, mm-hmm. it's also us even recognizing that, you know, we have your child. When you say they go into your adulthood, you and I both know that people can recount a childhood trauma to you, and it literally seems like it to them, it literally just happened yesterday, and they're telling you something that could have happened 20, 25 years ago.
Yes.
You know what definitely. I mean? So when we're talking about how it really is something that stays with you and you can't let it go until you're just like you're saying, you're in the proper environment, you're given the right tools on how to cope about not only how to discuss it, but also how to process it. You know what I mean? How to understand what happened at that time and then how it has also affected you currently so that you can get some new adjusting tools. Does all that make sense?
It makes sense. And one thing also is that you have to understand the triggers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because the thing about it is that a lot of times it's buried. Mm-hmm. And there's something that happened that will trigger it. And you're going through these emotions, whether it's that you shut down, whether it's something that you see, whether it's a memory that comes up when you're asleep.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that you heard a voice that's familiar to you that triggered something. And so you have to be able to recognize those things so that you're able to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people don't even know the triggers.
Yes. Yes. And which takes us back to, you know, since you don't know what's happening, you don't know the triggers, you also don't share what's going mm-hmm. on with you. And that goes back to that, you know, almost feeling like I have to carry this burden alone because I don't even have the words to explain what's going on. But it's also not even sometimes having the place to go to so that even if you don't have the words, somebody can help you express it. Does that make sense?
It does. And a lot of times people feel shame.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
They feel shame and they don't want to talk about it because remember, the sticks and stones may break your bones, but the words can never hurt you. Or we was also told, stop telling.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. Why are you being a telltale?
Mm-hmm.
So then what did that teach you?
Mm-hmm.
Hold secrets.
Mm-hmm. So and it's family secrets kill us. Oh my God, them family secrets are the worst. They're the hardest burdens. People been holding on to them for a real long time. They mess up relationships, parenting, communication. Everything goes because you've been holding on to a family secret. Ooh, that's a whole. That's a whole nother podcast. Okay,
but you know what? Let's just for those of you who are in the reality world who likes, you know, I call it Ratchet TV, the Braxtons. This is a thing that's going on with them right now.
The family secret got divulged.
Exactly. That you would never think that this went on in their family. But yet and still, it finally came out. And so in all of these families, what I'm learning is like it's there's degree levels of abuse that happens. But in 80% of the homes, it has transpired.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It has transpired. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of cultures, especially those who are into religion, that's mm-hmm. what they seek
mm-hmm.
versus actually going and getting the mental health and being able to acknowledge it and put a word to it.
Right. Other than sin.
Exactly.
Other than sin. So
you're correct about that.
So if someone is interested in being a mental health awareness advocate, Queen, tell us what's the education path that you have to go on in order to, you know, become as experienced as you?
Well, it depends on the level that you will actually want to do. So say for instance, if it's something that's more on a lower level, there are things that are called peer advocates. And NAMI is one of the ones, and that's basically the international. If you go to the website of NAMI, you're able to be able to go out and speak to others who are struggling with mental illness. And that's just a peer education piece to that. They also have where you can take classes through like Contra Costa College. They have peer education certificates that you would need. The biggest, most experience that will get you in the door to be able to help you, if that's something you want to do, is your lived experience. Mm. That is what's going to speak and talk because you understand empathy and you understand passion. And one of the things with me working in John George, when I'm talking with the patients, when I'm working with them, I always say, do you want me to tell you the truth or you want me to tell you a lie? Because I can tell you a lie all day long. And then for those who are really struggling, like the younger people, what I do with them is I try to tell them there's light at the end of the tunnel. I try to encourage them to write it down, because once you write it down, you don't have to show it to anyone. But what you can do is, you know, it makes you become accountable. And so these are only some of the things that I know because I've done it for myself. And so that's where that lived experience piece comes from, if this is a path that you want to take. And you also have to be aware of your own triggers, because sometimes when I'm working with individuals, I'm triggered. And I have to take a break. I have to, you know, take care of myself when I get off work, especially for, you know, individuals that are dealing with trauma of sexual abuse in their past. I get really triggered by that when I'm talking with those individuals, and I just want to be a mama bear sometimes. And I have to, you know, remember my role, that I am a mental health specialist. But a lot of our young women that are out here in these streets, they don't have parents. They don't have no one that has given them that love. So when I'm giving that love to them and I'm breaking them down, sometimes depending on the situation, I can give them like the little side hugs or give them like the little air hugs, but I give that to them. And when they get ready to leave out, they appreciate it. But that's because of my lived experience. So if you don't have lived experience and you're trying to go into this work, I'm sorry, but you will not be great at it. I work with some coworkers that I know that the individuals that we work with are just dollar signs to them. And I talk about this when we're in our teams training annually, that we hold a responsibility when we come in here to work. And you can make a person worse than when they were when they came in, just because of the way that you treat them.
Wow.
So anyone that goes into that, you have to be really careful. Like, this is, doing this type of work is no joke. And you can turn a person, think about it. A person say, okay, they finally get convinced, I want to go to therapy. And then they come in and they're ready to be vulnerable and they're ready to open up. And then you're flat. And you're just looking through them. What is going to happen? They're going to walk out that door. They're going to feel like it was a waste of their time. And they're going to do what normally happens. This self-destruction behavior. So it's not just drugs and alcohol. Eating wrong, you know, being hoarders, drama kings and queens. A lot of that is stemmed from just destructive behavior, because you're dealing with your own thing. So if I shine the light on somebody else, the light is no longer on me, and I can be getting a kick out of that. And so those are some of the things that we need to be aware of. Really, really know that this is something that you want to go into.
And, you know, you said something especially about connection, because I know how important that is for, and you know as well, especially in your own coaching when you're doing your one-on-one, is because without connection, one, you're not going to be able to get the truth. You know what I'm saying? And they won't, no one will trust you with their emotions, with their words and what they're saying. But also, if they've had a bad experience, usually we run into too many people who will tell you, oh, therapy ain't for me. I tried it. Well, I tell them, okay, well, you probably tried it maybe one time, you know, or maybe even twice. But if you didn't have the right connection, it was just like trying on the wrong shoe. Of course, it's not going to fit. You know what I'm saying? And it didn't feel good. So, of course, you're not going to want to put your foot back in that little bitty shoe again, you know. But if you get the right shoe and the right connection, then it can do wonders, especially for us women with carrying so much on us and having to, you know, sometimes just having nowhere to dump it.
You know. And, you know, for me, my, I call myself the music therapy queen. I have so many speakers. It's ridiculous. My coworkers laugh at me. But I get people to open up through music. And what I do is, like, I have two phones. I have my little small phone and I have my little Bluetooth speaker. And especially when I'm on one-to-ones, I give them the phone and say, play whatever you want to listen to. You can't, it'll take them back to a memory. Some is good, some are bad. I was able to figure out when someone's trauma started when they were a kid because they wanted to go all the way back down to the ABCs. And I saw how she transformed and she was comfortable. And I said, wow, this is her comfort level of like kindergarten. Mm. So somewhere around there is when that trauma happened. I've learned. There was someone that was in there and he was playing some rave music and it actually sounded like something that was backwards playing. And I said, that's for him, not for me. And he had chalk and he was like breakdancing, but also drawing. And by the time he finished, he said, that is the crystal meth recipe.
Wow.
I was like, whoa. And then he opened up and told me his story that he was a chemist that was cooking up crystal meth and nobody told him to suit up properly. So the drugs were seeping in his system and that's how he got addicted to drugs.
I'm sure you hear a lot of stories and it is so touching. You got music going on in there. What else should people expect when they work with you? And I can probably already imagine because I your friendship sounds like your coaching. You know what I mean? It sounds like your therapy. Warm, friendly. You know, you just want to confide an instant connection and that you feel... I don't know when I'm with you. It's more than just being feel heard. It's just like, you know, it's being feel worthy of being heard. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So what I try to do is I try to treat people the way that I would want to be treated. And so my coaching is, number one, is safe. It's judge free in regards to going into this partnership of like focusing, you know, on your emotional awareness. And working to try to mind shift. One of the things that I talk about is we have to deprogram and reprogram. And, you know, what are some real practical coping strategies? You know, so centering and really being able to acknowledge what you're feeling without feeling ashamed. And then having conversations to where we can identify what I talked about, triggers. And identifying the patterns, because you'll start seeing it. You know, it was one point in time, I was so stressed out at work, I would come home and have a glass every day. And it got so stressful to then I started smoking cigarettes again. And my daughter, she's looking at me and I'm just like, I'm going to get through this. Just let me do what I'm doing. Because I felt like I needed that. But then for me to see my daughter looking at me, with a cigarette in my hand, I was like, So being able to explore those type of things. And then what tools do you need? You know, journaling, grounding. I remember talking with some of the youth over at Treasure Island and taught them the tapping method in regards to grounding. Also doing emotional checks. Today I took an emotional a mental health day. I knew I needed that because I'm working on some things at work. And I said, I have this, I have this as one of my tools from work. And so I'm going to take a stress day. And then being able to learn how to set boundaries. You know, we have some people that we don't set boundaries with. And so these are some of the things that I try to have people explore as tools. And then also understanding that transformation is small, consistent steps towards the emotional stability and having self-compassion for yourself. And just know that it takes time because once you get to a point to where you feel peace, You're not going to let nobody destroy that. I mean, my phone don't ring no more because I have set those boundaries. Mm-hmm. I stopped picking up the phone. And so when you stop picking up the phone because I felt like I was giving out free therapy to people, I'm just throwing up things that I'm learning. Once mm-hmm. that came out, I said, oh, I can be charging somebody to do this, right?
Okay.
And so at the end of the day, I'm like, you're not going to take my personal time that's for me to then become a leech and you sucking out all the work that I've done for myself for you. It's countertransference is what we call it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting over here soaking because I don't listen to you and got drained. Mm-hmm. No, we're not doing that. So I teach people that. Let them give them the list that you received as far as doing the self-work. And let them go do the self-work and you enjoy yourself. I can come home now and watch Netflix series and binge watch it. I couldn't do that before because I was too busy trying to be a rescuer and not allowing people to do their work like they should. And so those are some of the things that we talk about.
And powerful things. Powerful things. Mm-hmm. What, now, when we, especially, I think a lot of women are always, like I had started off my intro with, feeling like if I don't talk about it, I'm not effective. If I can ignore it, I can just, you know, plow through. I can just go through my day. I can do things and things just start piling up. And what I call it is like they're, basically suffering in silence. Mm-hmm. Family don't know what's going on, but you just got a really bad attitude, you know, all the time. You know, they don't, you know, you're not speaking about the pain. You don't ask for help. You act like ain't nothing bothering you. Somebody asks you like, what's wrong? Nothing. You know what I mean? It's just like you always, you know, we're trying to, you know, find something. And these are so many women that do this where they are purposely ignoring their feelings. So mm-hmm. how does that, and this is what I'm always encouraging women, the reason if you don't want to do it for yourself, do it for your kids. Just like he was talking about with the cigarette. Look and see how is my actions affecting my babies?
Yes.
And so how does that affect their relationship with their children when they just refuse to acknowledge, I guess maybe that's that they need help or that something is going on with them and that if they can just keep being busy or keep being, helping other people and ignoring the situation, mm-hmm. and it will go away. What do you tell them, Queen?
So one of the things that it shows up as far as the children, they may start feeling confused. Because they're not understanding why, disconnect. And I know this because I'm still like hearing it from my kids as far as when I was going through my own mental health challenges and that disconnect. And it's just like, Mom, I just wish that at that time, you know, you just would have gave me a hug or you would have just been able to talk to me. And so like now, like my youngest daughter, she'll just come up to me and just hug me. Like, I need this. And I'll be like, girl, get off me. But because I'm not used to it because I didn't receive it. And so sometimes we have to be open to just allowing the kids to give it to us when we need it. And I know that when we're going through the things, because we're suffering, we become irritable and short-tempered. And you're just like emotionally, you're shut down. And you feel like you have nowhere to go. Or you become exhausted. Like sometimes I wake up and I'm like, I'm not going to work today. I used to say, I'm going to work even though I was exhausted. And then it will play out at work. But now I'm standing in my power room like I'm not feeling it. And I need to take that time to myself today so that I can recharge. And so you also have children when they see that, then they become afraid to approach you.
Exactly.
They become. And then when they can't approach you, what do? They go out into them streets.
Amen. Speak that part.
I've been blessed that my kids, you know, because I've surrounded myself with community all of my life, basically, because I grew up in church and I just went from one community to the next community to the next community. And so it was always someone for them to be able to reach out to. So I was fortunate with that. When you have partners or in, you know, a marriage, relationships, the partner may feel like they're shut out completely.
Yes.
Or unsure how to support you because you're not speaking, you're not talking. So, you know, if someone's asking you something and you're consistently like, they feel like you're biting their head off every time, then you start getting into arguments. It's like, well, how can I support you if you're not telling me, right? Mm-hmm. Or feeling emotionally distanced. And so when you, you know, start exploring down relationships that have been broken or marriages that have been broken, what do they always say? Emotionally, you were not there for me. There was a disconnect. And so some of the advice that I like to give, you know, individuals that I'm working with is to give yourself permission to not be strong every day. It's okay to say, today, I'm not strong. I need someone that I can lean on. And the way that you do that is that you have to be truthful and honest with yourself. If you don't feel like getting out of bed, you just don't feel like getting out of bed. Mm-hmm. Stay in bed for the day. If you are feeling snappy, you're feeling snappy because something is going on and you need time to be able to process that. And it's not, some people don't like to seek out help. I actually, and this is a true story, with me receiving my AA last year, and one of the things that helped me get through it, because I'm horrible at math. I mean, horrible at math. Letters and numbers don't make sense to me. And so I had to be not afraid to ask for help. Mm-hmm. I had to not be afraid to go and say, this is something that I struggle with, and go to the learning disability department at Contra Costa College. I'm sorry. And admit that I struggle with this. But by me letting go of the stigma of being scared that somebody knew that I struggled with that, I was able to achieve that AA because that was the only thing that would have helped me back from getting my degree.
Wow.
And wow. So those are some of the, and I have an AA in social behavior science. And mm-hmm. I worked at this for 14 years and I finally achieved that. So that was huge. And the only reason why I did is because I said to myself, I need help. Mm-hmm. I'm not finna sit up here and struggle with this. This is the only thing that's stopping me from getting what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it, right?
Let's do it.
And releasing the belief that your feelings are a burden.
Right. Right.
You have to release that belief.
And, you know, you said something real powerful earlier, because it goes also with your children and it goes with your partner, is that if you don't have the emotional connection, we all know, then that always affects the physical connection. And mm-hmm. that's even with your children. Like you say, you don't want them on you. You don't want them touching you. And they just want hugs and want to sit in your lap and just do all play with you. And, you know, you don't want any of that. And mm-hmm. so they take it back personally. And, right. you know, and then again, of course, you're the same way with your partner. You don't want to hold hands. You don't want to have sex. You don't want to kiss. You don't want to do any of these things. So again, they take it personally. And so even though, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because I know the parents in my parenting groups that we've talked about this, is that even though you actually think that you're helping somebody by going through it silently, really your actions are louder than the silence that you're dealing with.
Right. And so one of the things that you have to say to yourself is, what is the cause of it? Right. And that's when you start going through your trauma. I mean, when you start going through therapy. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that came up for me was, I buried it, was me being raped at school. Well, I was in middle school and it came up. I buried that. And so with that coming up, I understood why I don't like to be in stairwells and I get a chill because it happened up under a stairwell. I understand why I don't like to sleep in the dark because it was in the dark and I blanked out. So there's a lot of things that I understand why. And so I don't feel shame. I don't feel shame that I sleep with the light, the TV on, or I need to hear some music or something that's comfort for me. But it came from a violation that happened to me when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm. 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 And you said something powerful is that you get that nagging feeling that you have to find out why, especially once you're on a healing journey, because you want to, what is the genesis of this, and you have to tap into it so that you can move forward. But anytime that, you have to, it's a two-step process is what I tell people, is that we may tap into something so that you can move forward. But once you get the answer to the why, you're still at, now what do I do? And that's why you got to get them tools. That's why you have to learn how to process. That's how, you know what I mean? Because we're all going to be like, once I find out, oh, okay, it's because of this and this and this. I got mommy issues. I got daddy issues. Okay, now you done found out the why. So now what are you going to do about it?
The most powerful thing is you take away its power because it's no longer a secret.
That's right.
Secrets is the power. So when... Before, I would never speak about anything like that, but it has no power now.
Mm-hmm.
It happened. It's over with. Mm-hmm. It lets people know that, hey, someone may say, what? That happened to me too. Wow. Look at, she's strong. Oh, I want to talk to her more. How did you get over that? What is some of the things that you're doing to be able to, stay strong?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the person that brought it out, the therapist that I was working with, she was able to close it. And the way she closed it, it left it to where it had no power.
Right.
And how can I now take this and be able to help others get over it, right? And so even one of the things that I teach people to is giving a gift to Mother Nature. So... I'll tell you this story. I was talking in my therapy session about someone that was stalking me. And I was told, oh, just write a letter of things that you will want to say to that individual and release it and give it to Mother Nature. And so I did that, but I put it in the sewer. And she said, why would you send darkness to darkness? You have made it stronger. And I was just like, oh my God, I never thought about that. So I rewrote what I wrote originally and made sure that it was for no harm intended. May Mother Nature take you, remove you away from me. God bless you. That's it. And I went and I buried it by the water. And once I did that and prayed about it, I didn't have to deal with that person no more.
Mm-hmm. That's a really, really great process to, you can, sometimes people, throw things in the ocean, mm-hmm. what I mean? You can, burn them. I love the, Mother Nature type of thing, because really what you're going to do is almost like, reincarnating, or almost like, letting it turn from, what is it called when you put the stuff out in there, recycle it, and turn it into something good. It's going to come back as grass, or it's going to come back as moss, or it's going to come back as, just something beautiful. And that's what power is. Mm-hmm. Power is the beauty. What I mean? So once we even, like you say, you can get over it and you walk into that power, it is just like, we are, we're recycling it from bad to good. And mm-hmm. I love how you put that. I'm still the whole nature thing. I'm writing that down now so I can add that in there. Oh. So if you see me in the nature with a circle around a tree, don't be like, okay, D, you done took it to a different level, but now I am because you doing it. And no, I want to be like you.
I'm going to give you another one that's even more powerful than that. So they have paper that dissolve in water.
Hmm.
And I was dealing with someone that I had like emotional ties to. Like, knowing that it was not a good situation. And this just was as of recently, like mm-hmm. within the last 2 years. And so I have this paper and I wrote down everything. And once I wrote it down, I took it. It dissolved in the water. I took it like 2 miles out and I poured it in a tree for the roots. And I ain't heard from that person since I did that.
I love that one too. And Lord knows we got a lot of water. I mean, that's a whole beach. That's a whole beach experience. Okay.
Yes.
That is beach experience, Queen. I believe that because you know what? It's a release. And sometimes the release has to be more than mental. We have to see it.
You have to see it. I mean, we have to feel it. Yeah. Especially if you're a spiritual person, because one of the things, and I learned this from a patient that does yoga and, the grounding. We as humans, even when you're struggling, go to the beach, go to the lake, take your shoes off and put your feet in that grass.
Yes.
It will make a difference for you.
Mm-hmm.
It will help you ground yourself. One of the things I was also taught is that, you know, we're supposed to hug trees and they give us energy. Because it's life. And so you can take that negativity and put it in that tree and get that life that that tree have, and it gets into you. So it's so many things that we have to do that we can do with nature that can help us. But we got to be willing to do it. Even YouTube, I tell people, make your best friend. They have videos that their grounding exercises, their meditative guided meditations. I call them portals because you can put on there to where there are butterflies that are going around. You're in the rainforest, but there's meditative music that's playing and it will take you there and that will help you with your mental state. I play them every other night. I'm playing something to help me to escape. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm recharged.
I love that. I love that. And I know it works. I know it works. And you know what? It's almost like you not only have to do it for the work that you do, but as parents, we just need to do it so that our families see us at our best. Because I know you coming out feeling in the morning like you ready. You know what I mean? And that's the energy that the people who are going to be interacting you, that's what they want. They want that I'm ready. I'm happy. I, you know, they want to be able to absorb the energy that I can share with them. If I'm drag assing, who wants to talk to somebody like that? Who wants to live with somebody like that? You know, how are you sending your kids off, you know, with that type of energy instead of doing just what you're talking about, using nature, using any type of form that you can to recharge yourself.
Yeah.
Ground yourself and get yourself ready so that you can not only feel better, but so that you can, you know, energy trickles down to me. And, you know, and that's good or bad. So I'd much rather it be trickling down on my baby and my partner as good energy than to send them off on a whole day where they're worried about me. Or even worse, worried about their damn self. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And the advice for families, and it goes both ways, you know, whether you yourself are going through it and you, you know, like the families are asking what they can do, or if you or have children or your spouse is struggling, is you can, you know, don't take it personal. Like I really had to learn that. And so now me and my daughter, we kind of use our words to where it's not you. I just had a bad day kind of situation. And even for her, sometimes she come in and I'm like, well, what's wrong with you? Nothing. I just had a bad day. So I'm not going to take it personal if you're slamming the door or if you're stumping up the stairs or whatever, right? And so the other thing is asking, like, how can I support you today? And, you know, do you need anything from me today, right? And we ask the patients that when we're at work. But I know that that helps me and my daughter when we're struggling. And encouraging to take the breaks. To release it, the emotion. Like I'll tell the patients when I'm working with them, you can ask for a break, ask to go in the TV room, ask to go outside. You want to go outside? Do you want to scream? Because you can't scream in here because people are going to be like, whoa, what's going on? But you can go outside and scream. Sometimes you just have to release it. It's okay to cry. People sit back and they're like, oh, if you're crying, it's a sign of weakness. No, it's a sign of strength. Because if I'm crying, I'm releasing it so I can let it go.
Yes.
Right? And then even in the household, it's like helping with daily tasks. like, that's okay, mom, I'm gonna wash the dishes for you. Or that's okay, you know, if it was a role of, let's just say, your partner of taking out the trash, it's okay, you take out the trash for the day, because they're struggling, right? And then just offering compassion and not pressure. And so I've learned to utilize some of those things, and I tell other people to do it, and it actually really helps.
And I'm glad that you brought in, because I have gotten away from a culture, I think, of doing just what you're talking about, speaking when you come into a house and kind of checking in with people to kind of let them know how to treat you, basically, is what the check-in is for. Because I know if you say things like, I had a hard day, I know to give you some space. I don't even need to just go right in and be like, what happened? Why was it hard? You know what I mean? That right there should just be enough for me to be like, okay, let me give you some space. You know, so those things are so important, but it's just what you were saying. We have to, and we have to teach our children and our partners to use your words. Because when you use your words and you are able to explain to me just a little bit of what's happening, then I can know how to react. And sometimes, again, that can help me know what to give you. Even sometimes if you don't know what to ask for. I'll just know what to give you anyway, because I know what it's like to have a hard day at 16 or 20, you know what I mean? And blah, blah, blah. I know, you know, so those type of things help us really learn how, you know, learn how to love you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Especially exactly. Because it's easy to love people when they're up. It's hard to love people when they're going through something, especially when they're not sharing. And that's when they need the love the most. And that's why I keep encouraging our women to speak up and use your words. You don't have to suffer in silence when sometimes all you need is release, some love, you know, support, a hug, you know, a walk out in nature, some simple things that can turn some things around instead of keeping it so bottled up.
Right.
Now you've got everybody, like we were talking about earlier, everybody is either, you know, scared or, you know, fearful, resentful, all kind of different things. And that's not what you need on top of what you're already feeling. Mm-hmm. So I know that you have, tell us about what is Be Kind to Yourself. Tell us, how did that, what did you do to get that started? And what is that, my friend?
Oh, okay. So I created the Be Kind to Yourself LLC because I wanted to build a movement, not just a message, right? Because you have to be kind to yourself. And a lot of people wake up on a daily basis beating themselves up, you know, about things they survived, or either they don't know, or like things that you couldn't control, things that are out of your control, right? Things that have maybe happened to your children. Maybe your child was born with a disability. Maybe a child was violated. Just different things that you had no control over, and you consistently beat yourself up about it on a daily basis. So I wanted to create a space that teaches self-forgiveness, a space to where you can be emotionally honest, a place where it's promoted to have peace over perfection, understanding the art of starting over, and then having the courage to be able to say, I deserve better. And my brand is for anyone who has shame, who carries that with them, who carry emotional weight. A lot of people don't know that people that are overweight, it's emotional. And that's that emotional eating that you're doing because you find that comfort in that food. Generational trauma. We have to learn how to break those cycles of generational trauma. And those who have been silenced for just too long. And so I wanted to work on providing something as journals and the ability to do coaching sessions with individuals, and just to be out there for community support that reminds people that healing starts with how you treat yourself.
That's powerful. Look, we're going to have you come back because we have only just tipped the iceberg,
yes,
so to speak. We're going to have a part two because I want to hear about you. I know you got some self-help journals that you can purchase on Amazon. I know you are doing big things. I know you out into the community. So real quick, in about 30 seconds, Queen, tell me, what are you doing next in the community and how can people contact you?
Well, next in the community, I'm going to be working with my job as far as the cuts that are going. We got a lot of layoffs in the community. So that's where it's going to be a lot of mental health journeys that I'm going to have to really get in and step in and with that role with that. But you can contact me at www.bekindtoyourself.today. And, or you can contact me at, bekindtoyourself2022@gmail.com.
All right, Queen. We're going to make a part two. We'll get together and get some details worked out. Have a great weekend.
Definitely. You too. Thank you. Enjoy. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Listen, ladies, whether it's because we are ashamed, embarrassed, afraid, or just too damn proud, all too often, these emotions stop us from sharing our mental health concerns. Too often, women of color try to muscle through depression, anxiety, and emotional stress on their own. But this usually is a mistake. What you really need is someone to help you sort out what you're going through and to provide support, love, tools, and treatment options. Part of the challenge in getting care is the cultural belief that only people who are crazy or weak see mental health professionals. There are still too many Black folks feeling that our women have to be strong and stoic. Women are so busy taking care of everyone else, their partners, their elderly parents, and their children, they don't take care of themselves. However, ladies, attending to your own needs, whether physical or emotional, doesn't make you weak. It makes you better able to care for your loved ones in the long run. There's no replacement for the help you can get from a mental health professional, but you can also safeguard your emotional health by doing these 6 self-care practices consistently. 1, get good rest. Aim for at least 6 to 8 hours of sleep each night. Lack of sleep disrupts your mood, making everything you do less effective. 2, move more. Exercise at least 30 minutes as many days as you can. Exercise can manage or prevent depression symptoms. We just did a whole podcast about this last month. 3, eat well. A healthy mix of fruits, vegetables, and protein keeps energy levels steady, helping you better manage the ups and downs of your day. 4, we need connection. We need friends and good people that we are around every week. Studies have shown that social support improves women's mental well-being, helping to reduce stress and the effects of depression. 5, meditate and pray. Mindfulness meditation or prayer is able to improve depression, anxiety, and pain symptoms. And last but not least, ladies, know your limits. Stop doing everything for everybody every day. Setting boundaries at work and at home can also help reduce stress. Ladies, I'm doing this series so we will take control of your health. For ourselves and for our families, we want to be living a full, productive life, which means taking care of our physical health and realizing our mental health matters just as much. So I guess that wraps it up for me today. Thanks for tuning in and listening. We can stay connected on my social media outlets, my Facebook page, If Nothing Changes, Nothing Changes Life Coaching, my Instagram page, Coach Deidre, at Coach Deidre, and past podcasts can be heard on CoachDeidre.com. So I'll be back with a new show on Friday, December 26th at noon on the one and only Inner Light Radio. I hope you'll tune in again. Until then, I hope you'll be doing more than paying bills and waiting to die. Go live. This is Deidre, your life coach, reminding you, if you want to make a change in your life, do it. Because if nothing changes, nothing changes.